you come preach for us. Caleb Auger's coming tonight from, I guess, Carterville or somewhere down that way. I don't know, but south of here. You preach for us, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Take your Bibles for me to Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. So now you've gotten here, Brother Andy from our church, and now Brother Caleb, and now we save the worst for last. So hopefully we'll get through this tonight. Romans chapter number 6. Bear with me tonight. We're going to read a lot of scripture. We're going to read the entire chapter really fast. So stay with me right in the beginning, then we'll jump right into the message after we get through that. Romans chapter number 6, verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been yet planted together in likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead in Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members and instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please be with the message tonight, be with the sermon and the service this evening, dear Lord. Please work tonight, meet with us tonight. Help me to say everything you want me to, nothing more, nothing less. Just the words that you have for me to say, dear Lord. Speak through me and use me. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage of scripture, what we're going to be talking about tonight is we're going to be talking about our standing with God as opposed to our state with God. We're going to be talking about our standing with God before we were saved, our standing with God after we are saved, and then after we're saved, our state with God. So during this time, Paul writes this letter to the church at Rome. And this chapter here, chapter number 6, what he's focusing on is when you're saved. You know, I know when I got saved, and the next time I committed a sin, there was always a little doubt in my mind. Did I get saved? I thought I was supposed to be a new man, a new creature. And so chapter 6 talks about how when you get saved, God kills the old man. Your old man is dead, but your sin nature is still there. And that's what Paul's dealing with in Romans chapter number 6. But first off, we're going to talk about our standing. What is our standing with God? Our standing is the way God sees us eternally. So when God looks down at each and every one of us, he sees something. If you're unsaved, he sees a wicked, sinful man bound for hell. If you're saved, he sees his son, Jesus Christ. So first off, we're going to look at an unsaved man standing with the Lord. Go back to chapter number 5, verse number 12, pretty much sums that up for us. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In this verse, as we see here, one man of Adam, one man, Adam, Adam's sin passed death upon all men. Not only did it pass death upon all men, but because that one man's sin, sin was upon every man from the moment of your birth. So when you were born and you were born into this world, that very moment you became a liar, you became a cheater, you became a murderer, you became an adulterer. That very moment, not just the sins you committed, the sins of the sin of man, the sin nature of man was on your life that very moment that you got saved. So if you're not saved in here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never ran to that city of refuge that Brother Caleb talked about this morning, when God looks down at your life and he sees you and he sees the person that you are and the man that you are, the woman that you are, if you've never been saved, he sees a wicked, sinful, horrible human being. That's what we are. That's what our natural state is. Our old man has enslaved us to sin, whether we like it or not. On our own, our natural state, because of Adam's sin and because of one moment in time and one decision that he made, it damned every single man from then on to have a sin nature and have a filthy, filthy natural state. And then also another thing that God sees when he looks down, and he looks down at you if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he sees somebody bound for hell. In verse number 12 there it says, "And death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Yes, you know, we hear in the Bible, this death that it's speaking of is an eternal death. Each and every one of us in here from the moment we were born, we are dying. You know, we're going to die a physical death one way or another, whether we like it or not. But this death that it's talking about here is an eternal death. If you're not saved and you never accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, one day you're going to die a physical death. But then you're going to die a spiritual death and an eternal death where you're going to be cast into the lake of fire and you're going to be in hell for eternity. So when God looks down at you, he looks down at the sinner. He looks down at the unsaved man. He looks down at the average person. That's what he sees. He sees a sinful, horrible person. He sees somebody who's on a path of a life of no hope, sees somebody on a path of a life of destruction, of a misery, of uncertainty. That's what he sees, somebody on their way to hell. And there's only one way that you can change that. And then we'll look at the saved person. What does Jesus Christ see, or what does God see when he looks down at a saved person's life? Well, if you would go back to Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter 4. And give you a little bit of my testimony. When I got saved when I was 12 years old at our revival services. And before that, I had made a profession of faith when I was 5, and I didn't really mean it. I figured it would make my parents happy. I knew they'd be happy. And so I made a profession when I was 5 years old, was baptized in the church that I was in there that next Sunday in Florida where we lived. And then from then on, I always had my doubts. I had my doubts that I wasn't saved. I was embarrassed. I didn't want to disappoint my parents. I didn't want them to think I lied to them. And I was always scared. Then, and in 2008, I was 8 years old, and my dad became the pastor of our church there, Victor Baptist Church, and I was 10 years old. And so then I thought, well, now I can't get saved now. You know, my dad's the pastor. I'm supposed to be saved. His family's supposed to be living for God. So I waited 2 more years, and then we had our revival services. And on a Thursday night, I didn't get saved at church, didn't get saved down at the altar. I waited till I got home. And about 1:30 in the morning, I went and got my dad. And I was so tired of fighting it, tired of the doubt, tired of the worry, not knowing if I was going to wake up the next day and end up burning in hell. I didn't know what was going to happen. And so I finally pushed my pride away, pushed that sin nature away. And I went to my dad, and I got saved that night. And at that very moment when I got saved, something happened to me. No longer when God looked down and saw a sinful, wicked, horrible person bound for hell and bound for an eternity of burning in the lake of fire, he saw his son, Jesus Christ. And we're going to look here at Romans chapter number 4, verse number 18. Romans chapter number 4, verse number 18, going to read down through number 25. "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised against and was raised again for our justification. So we see here in Romans chapter 4, Paul's using Abraham as an example to teach the doctrine of imputation. And so we can go back to Genesis 15 and look and see where Abraham believed God and he trusted in God. And it says here in this passage here of Romans chapter 4 that because he believed God, because he believed that his promises were true and that he would perform his promises, that God imputed to him his son's righteousness, imputed to him righteousness. And not only that, but I love verse number 24, but for us also. So at that moment in time when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and I repented of my sins and I asked him to come into my life and God looked down at me, no longer he saw that sinner, he saw his son's righteousness. And God came and Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. Chapter number 5 of Romans is all about this. It talks about, you know, because of one man, everybody's sins are in the world. All the offenses are in the world. And then each and every one of us individually can accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and that one more man can wipe them away. So no longer, if I sin, I lie after I got saved, I cheat, I steal something, and God looks down at me to see what's going on, Jesus is there interceding for me, covering that sin with his blood. So no longer does he see my wickedness, my filthiness, my sinfulness, that he sees his son. So that is our standing with God. So no matter what we do, no matter how wicked we are, no matter what kind of sins that we commit after salvation, our standing is always constant. Jesus Christ is always constant, and he's always there interceding for us no matter what. So then we're going to look at our state. In our passage, Romans 6, I mean, you could go, it kind of repeats itself a lot throughout there, so you could go through the entire chapter verse by verse and see this all throughout this passage. But we'll look firstly at the first couple verses. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? So you see here at the beginning, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin even though we're already saved? Or why do we still have that sin nature? Paul was teaching them here that even though you're saved, and even though that the old man is dead and you're not enslaved to sin anymore, that sin nature is still there in your life, that desire to sin, that's still there in your life. And in verse number 12, let's read verse number 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it at the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So when I got saved, before I was saved, I was enslaved to sin. I was a slave to sin. I was a slave to the idea. I was enslaved to hell. I was bound for hell whether I liked it or not. After I got saved, now I have a choice. Jesus Christ, the old man no longer reigns in my life. Jesus Christ reigns in my life. But the wonderful thing about our Savior and about our God is he doesn't want to force you to serve him. He wants you to decide that I love him and I'm going to serve him. And so he gives us a choice here. So after you're saved, you can decide whether or not you want to serve the Lord or you don't want to serve the Lord. You can decide whether or not you want to serve sin or you want to serve God. It's all up to you. It's all your choice. So that is our state. That's what our state is, where we are in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and our walk with God. Where are we? And sadly, there's many Christians that get saved. We see it. They're there 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, and then they fall away, right? Their state, so you have your standing. Your standing's always here. They get saved. They start right here. You have a decision to make whether or not I'm going to serve sin or I'm going to serve God. You can make the decision to serve God, and your state starts rising. You start walking closer to God. You start learning more about Him. You start growing more, and you start changing things in your life. You're throwing things out. You're adding good things in. Or you can make the decision to serve sin, and your state starts getting farther and farther away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, we have those Christians that have made that decision. But then the majority of Christians, what God wants is He wants a steady growth. He wants you to match your state with your standing. The goal is that when I die and I'm standing before an almighty God, I want my life, I want my state where I am in my Christian growth to be as close to Jesus Christ as I can possibly get it. And sadly, us as Christians, us as human beings, our state does this number. We go up and down and up and down, and revival comes along and we're at a high, and then it slowly, gradually goes down. The missions conference comes along and we're back at a high, and then it slowly goes down. What God wants is He wants a steady and gradual growth. Not you're going to have your times where you plateau or you take a step back maybe, but what He always wants, it always needs to be going up, always needs to be going forward. The goal is for us to match our state with our standing. And so I'd ask you tonight, where's your state at? Where's your walk with the Lord at? How close are you? If God looks down at you and He sees His Son and He kind of peers around Jesus to see where you at, are you close behind Him? Can He even see you? Are you even there? Is he having to squint, pulling out the binoculars, trying to find you because you're so far away from Him? And so hopefully our goal is that we can walk closer to Him and grow closer to Him. And the only way we do that is by getting in God's Word, finding out what He has for us. What is our job as a Christian? What is, you know, we look here, you're going to serve sin or serve God. Well, what does all that entail? What does serving God entail? What do I have to do to serve God? You know, this book is filled with stuff we're supposed to do. The number one thing is the Great Commission. Each and every one of us are called, and we have a calling to spread the gospel to each and every creature and invite people to church to share the great news of salvation that each and every one of us, if you're saved, that we've gotten. That's our job. And so you wouldn't know that unless you get in the book and read it, right? We wouldn't know that we're supposed to share the gospel unless we get in the book and read it. We wouldn't know we're supposed to study the book unless we read that in the book. And so we need to work on our fellowship with God, our personal walk with God. And that's how we get our state to go higher and to reach that level of Jesus Christ. The Bible says to be holy, for I am holy. That's the goal. We want our holiness at the end of our life to be as close as we could possibly get it to our standing. And so when you die, you don't look like a stranger. You don't look like a stranger because no matter what, you know, you're going to go to heaven. Our standing doesn't change. If you got saved and you fell out of church and you're not living for Him, God's still going to let you in. You're still saved. You're still one of His children. But are you going to be a stranger to Him? Is He going to know you? Can you walk in and, yeah, I met with God every day. I had my devotions every morning, every night, whenever you have it. I prayed every day. We talked every day. We walked together every single day. So my challenge for you today is, where's your state at? Is it even close to where Jesus is at? Is it even close to where your standing is? Are you trying to grow? Are you gradually going up? Are you doing this number up and down, up and down? You know, so many times it's not always fun. It's not always easy to get up and do your devotions every day in the morning. Sometimes we're tired, had a late night before, something gets in the way. But we just got to stick at it. You know, even when the times are rough and even when it's hard, we got to stick at it and always, always be climbing uphill. And there's one of the assistant pastors in our church. He always taught us, guys, he taught our Bible class in high school. And he always told us that whenever you take one step back or whenever you take two steps forward and then you take another step backward, that step to go forward again is always harder to get the next time. And so I challenge you, don't take steps backward. Don't do the up and down motion. Do your best to have a steady and gradual climb to get your state to where it is as good as you can to emulate Jesus Christ. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your word, dear Lord. Thank You so much for a perfect book that You've given us. And thank you so much for allowing us to study it. And we're so unworthy, dear Lord. Thank you so much for that. And please be with each and every individual person here. Help them to want to grow closer to you and want to serve you and to want to be like you and to walk closer to you, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would please stand as the piano begins to play.